Hey everybody, welcome back to Classroom 33, the podcast. Pastor Dustin here with Steve Prudian. And today we are looking at part two of last week's part one. So what's part two look like this week, Steve?
Well, last week we introduced what Jesus said was going to be the sign of his coming, which was going to be like in the days of Noah. But a lot of people do not understand or can even picture what the days of Noah are like. So this last week we played part one of a sight and sound musical called Noah, which depicted what the days of Noah were like. And they're very much like our society all over the world today.
All right. Dark times, everybody kind of just doing what they want, when they want, why they want.
You know, devoid of God.
100% devoid of God. So what does part two look like then?
Well, part two, as you know, as Paul Harvey would say, for those of you who can remember who Paul Harvey is, the rest of the story. We left off with Noah and his sons with the task of building their boat, their ship, their floating house, whatever you wanted to call it. But now we're going to look at the most important part of the Noah experience. The most important part of the Noah experience is the new covenant that God made with Noah that still carries true today, and God is honoring his word in spite of the fact that we are living in the days of Noah.
It would certainly seem that we are living in the days of Noah. So, Steve, for those who might not be really aware of what that covenant is all about, what is God's covenant with Noah?
It's funny that God chose something that's very excellent, very uncommon, very beautiful, and that's called a rainbow. That God actually provided a rainbow to remind himself that he would never destroy man with a worldwide flood again. But a lot of people do not know that a rainbow is actually a form of a prism. It allows the spectrums of light to be seen through the eyes of men. Mm-hmm. And even more interesting about a rainbow is a rainbow is not normally a curve. The spectrum of light was actually bent into shape. It was actually curved by God to create a bridge between where man is to where God is. So the next time you see a rainbow, know that it touches you, but it also touches God.
Well, that would certainly explain why nobody's found the proverbial end of the rainbow. So, wow. I guess I didn't know that about, it never occurred to me. Light travels in a straight line, but a rainbow is curved. Very interesting. You know, one of the things that I like as we're kind of talking about the symbolism within the rainbow here, one of the things that strikes me about it is that, you know, aside from being curved, that beam of white light that is split, you don't see that either. You don't see the rays of light until it is split into the colors. So it's just a great display of God's majesty and his glory.
I've often wondered about the brilliance of Jesus Christ. Jesus basically has told us in a word that we can't even visualize this word, okay? But the word is glorified. Glorification. And that Jesus is living in a glorified body, in a glorified place that does glorified things. And the reality is that that's what he's promised for us.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I've I have no idea what glorification looks like. I know with, you know, systematic theology, I know what it says about it. But what does it actually look like? That's an interesting thing. Is it the trend? Is it the reverse of the rainbow? What we have right now is the visible beams of light, and what we have will have then is making what is currently invisible visible.
Unfortunately, because when sin entered this world, that scales were put upon our eyes, and we do not even see light correctly. But someday the scales will be dropped from our eyes and we will see the perfect light. The perfect light is looking upon the face of God. But today, no man can look upon the face of God and live.
No, we can't.
Pure glorification is being able to see the face of God. And we know that God is light. How much light, we can't even imagine. However, we know one thing about the light of God. The light of God is pure.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, we know that in Revelation, God sits upon his throne on his recreated earth, and there is no sun, there's no day, there's no night. The entire world is covered in God's light, and he's sitting in one space, one spot. So, it's a pretty powerful light.
It is a powerful light. What's amazing about that light is that it's not like a light bulb in one spot. It's everywhere. You cannot avoid the light. And if you are avoiding the light, then you've made a bad choice.
But I think that's part of glorification, though. There are no more bad choices.
That's right.
The choices that we will make are going to be completely and totally influenced by God. His enemy will be put away for eternity.
You know, what's interesting is one of the things that human beings, especially those of us who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask a question. And the question is an age-old question. Why does God allow men to sin?
That is the question.
If I was God, I would say no sin allowed. But God says, my desire is that you wouldn't sin. Mm-hmm. But since your bent, your natural tendency is towards sin, you need to find out the cost of sin that you can't pay. That only God's Son, Jesus Christ, voluntarily paid. Unless you know the cost, you have no value.
That's really very true. And there are, there's a lot of trains of thought down that same thing, but I think you say it very well, that we don't know what it costs. We read about it, the suffering of Jesus, but we still can't even remotely experience what that cost really was.
I'm going to ask you, Dustin, it's not a trick question, but it's more of a trivia question. What were Jesus's two final prayers?
I know the forgive them. He prayed for forgiveness. Well, it depends on how you define prayer. Why have you forsaken me?
You have both of them from the exact same time on the cross. Mm-hmm. Those were Jesus' only two prayers on the cross. Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. And the second question was, that was for people. But right. the next question, which was a prayer, is the why. And today, we should remember that our prayers should follow Jesus' prayers. Okay? Father, forgive. And the next question is, Why? What do you want from me today?
I think that's a great reminder. We should always be asking those questions. Forgive me, because I screw up every day, even some days multiple times. And a lot of the time, we make mistakes that we don't even realize. We don't see them and we don't recognize them. So we need to pray for forgiveness of our unknown sins as well. And then use me today, God. Because Jesus knew why. He wasn't asking why for his benefit. He was asking why for our benefit.
I want to get back to Noah.
Let's get back to Noah.
Because Noah deals, believe it or not, with forgiveness. Because of the fact that God knew that even in saving Noah and his family, that the work wasn't done. That there was still going to be time where worship and sacrifice was needed. And sacrifice is all about what? Asking for?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness for what?
For your sins.
Forgiveness for your sins. I find it interesting, on the second part of the video that's being shown, you're going to see how a family can get on each other's nerves over a period of a year in tight spaces.
I believe that can happen.
You know, these people should understand, or should have experienced what it's like to be in a submarine for that period of time. At least they had more room to share.
Yeah. And fresh air to breathe.
And fresh air to breathe. Well, we don't know how fresh it really was.
Well, you could go up and open the window right. At least.
That's right. But one of the interesting things in watching those interpersonal relationships that go along is you'll find out that brothers don't always agree. That wives of brothers don't always agree. And oftentimes, parents have to intervene between their children.
That does happen.
So
sometimes.
Nothing has changed. But one of the things that we don't think about, okay, is the waiting period, okay, where Noah and his family were locked in to the boat before it rained. Do you know, Dustin, how long it was before it rained from the time that God told Noah and his family to enter the boat?
No, I don't, off the top of my head.
God told Noah to enter the boat 7 days before it was going to rain. And God told Noah, in 7 days, it's going to rain. What does that 7 days represent and sound like to you?
Well, seven is the number of completion, so it sounds like, actually, quite frankly, it sounds like rapture. He's taking his chosen people and he's secluding them, taking them away from the world and leaving the world to its devices for 7 days. And we know there's 7 years of tribulation that come after the rapture. It sounds very similar.
You have hit on it exactly. What happens is that God provided 120 years before a plan to create a place of safety for those who followed him. And when that place of safety was completed, the place of safety was the place that they were to go. But God put them in that place of safety 7 days before the tribulation began, before the floods and the earth opened up and the rain poured down. People didn't drown because of the rain. People really drowned because the ground opened up and it flooded the earth. More water came out of the earth than actually came from the heavens.
Right. More water was moving upward than downward.
So when God asks you to prepare, and it may seem like a stupid idea, and it may take a long time, God knows the place of safety he is preparing for you. But you have to work hand in hand with him. The Noah's Ark was not a miracle. They had to physically make the effort and build it inch by inch. And you need to work on your faith and build it inch by inch.
Amen. Amen. that's you've given me a lot to think about and a lot to look at now this week.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for that. And I think we should probably close it here. And do you have any final words for our listeners?
Well, I always like to tell you what's next. Okay? Of course, you know that they're having the Beach Lake Combined Church Service on September the 4th, which means there won't be a Sunday school class here.
Correct.
Okay. The following week on September the 11th, we will have a Sunday school class, and it's really for only those people who are willing to learn the truth about who God is to Job's friends, and then who God is to Job when Job had a chance to clarify who his God is to his friends. Nothing has changed. There's a world that believes one thing about God, but then there is us who should know the truth about God. So come and hear the truth.
All right. That's a great invitation. Thank you very much for coming in, Steve. Great to have you as always.
Thank you.